Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we talk about a body that is unified, I thought about this message as we're getting close to a big day on Sunday, the 12th. But honestly, as I thought about that day and how important that day is, realizing that every day that we have at this church is an important day. Tonight is an important day to the Lord. Next Sunday morning, next Sunday night, next Wednesday, on and on and on. They're all important to the Lord as we meet together. And I just wanted to talk about that. I think we're going to have a good time tonight, as I got some different things we're going to do throughout this the service that I think will be interesting. But I think it'll help us all to see the importance of why we're here. And some of this will be stuff that you might go, I already know. Then that's great. But let the Lord really work in your life as we look at the body and the importance of the body of Christ and how important it is that we are unified and what that all entails and what that all means. To start with, though, I want to tell a story. I want to tell a story about something that's close to me and very important to me. I want to put this picture up. This is my family. This picture was taken in 1867. This is the Shore family. The littlest guy that's sitting on the lap over there, his name is Samuel. That is my great-grandfather. Now, in 1867, this was right before the Shore family, everybody right there, was going to be heading from Europe and coming to America. Obviously, many of our relatives, obviously, that's been the situation. So what happened was they were in Europe, and they were waiting to get on the boat. So they went to the dock waiting area. And the story was told is that as they were in the dock waiting area, they were just waiting and waiting until finally the boat got ready to get on. Samuel, being 5 years old, got a little impatient. And Samuel didn't want to just sit around, so Samuel started to wander. Well, they thought, it's okay. It's, you know, it's just this big building, and he's okay wandering around. Well, he wandered a little too far. And he wandered away where the family didn't know where Samuel was. So they ended up splitting up, and they looked all over the place to try to find Samuel because they could not find him. And I'll finish the story at the end of this as to what happened to Samuel. And it has to do with this message, but I'll finish the story at the end because I think it'll be more applicable at the end of the story. Getting back to our message in 1 Corinthians, let's take a look in our Bibles then as we look at that. Remember that story then about Samuel? We're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's go to verse 12. I'm going to read through some verses here, and then we'll talk about it throughout the message, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? Or of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Father, for a message about your body. And I pray, Father, as we look, that it would impact in fact that we would understand the importance of the body. That we would take time tonight to examine ourselves and take time tonight to realize the importance of being part of the body. And I pray, Father, that you would just guide and direct through this lesson. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our notes, as we look at our notes, it's important to understand that the church is not just a building. The church in the Bible means more than just the building. As we look at this in the beginning, I want to just do in our intro a little bit more of a review just to get into the message. When Jesus said he would build his church, he was using a specific Greek word. The word is ecclesia. The word means a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place. The church is a called out assembly. Jesus said he was going to call out an assembly of people who were going to do his work, and the gates of hell would not stop them. Members of this church come to the building where to meet, but the church is never the building. We might meet in the building, but this isn't the church, it's the building. It is the body of Christ. It is called to be a unified body with Christ alone as its head. As we can see, we have a building here. We meet here. But the church is not this building. Sunday night, we will not be in this building. On Sunday night, we're going to be out in the back. And go, well, where's the church? Is there nobody in the church? Well, this is the building. The church is where the people are. On the 4th of July, we go on to Mount Charleston. Liberty Baptist Church is having service up on Mount Charleston. It's because where God's people are, that's where the church is. It's not the building. So when we talk about the church, and I bring up the church, it's not the building I'm talking about. It's talking about the people. And I think we all understand that. And in fact, we're talking about the people. What about the church? It's the people is what we're talking about. So keeping that in mind, Matthew 16:8 says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Two things he says in that message. He says, or in that passage, he says, "I will build my church." And he says the gates of hell will not prevail it from moving forward. Two things he's saying. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build then with bringing people, because that's what the church is people. I'm going to build my church with people. But then he says the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Then we see also that Jesus called them to preach the gospel. See, he's talking to his disciples, which was the beginning church for the disciples. And this is what he says in Matthew 28. We know these verses. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and to earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." So he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Tell them about me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He's telling them to go out and spread the word. Tell everybody how they can be saved. This is the gospel. He says, tell them and go out there. This is what the church is supposed to do. So we got a church. Now we happen to have a building. If I was going to Africa right now, they wouldn't maybe have a building. Maybe they might have a thatch roof. Sometimes people are outside and they're going to say, this is our church. Missionaries come and say, this is the church, because it's not about the building. This is where they meet. It's the people. But what are the people supposed to do? Well, the people are supposed to go out and they're supposed to spread the good news. This is what the people are supposed to do. That's a bit of a background about the church. Now, with that, let's look at number one. Number one, the church is Christ's body. The church is Christ's body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." 1 Corinthians 12:27 says in verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." And in Ephesians 5:30, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." We see the fact he's talking about Christ's body. We understand the church is the people, but now he says the church, that's us, is Christ's body. Connect the dots. Okay? Church is the people, but he says now the church, that's the people, is Christ's body. Number one. Note the church belongs to Christ. As we said in those verses, it's his body. It's his body. See, the church does not belong to a denomination. The church does not belong to the pastor. And despite popular opinion, the church does not belong to the people. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not your grandma's church. Then whose church is it? It's Christ's church. This is Christ's church. In Mark 9:41, it says, ye belong to Christ. So we belong to Christ. This is his body. We are his arms, his legs, his eyes. We are Christ. Very important to get this and really understand this. Number two, since the church is Christ, he is to have all preeminence then. In Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence is to be number one, the first thing. That's what preeminence means, to be the first thing. Is what it means. That means it's not about programs. It's not about plans. It's not about personalities. All those have to take a back seat to Jesus Christ. That means this. If we are the body of Christ, and it says we are the body of Christ, then understand the fact that he's saying in here, what we just said, that he's got to be number one. The question is, the body of Christ, is Jesus Christ number one in your life? Because we make up the body of Christ. And if we don't put Jesus Christ first in our life, then what does that do to affect the body of Christ? How does that affect us? Now, I want you to kind of take yourself away from where you are and imagine a body. One body. And understand the importance of one body, since we are the body of Christ. That means all of us make up the body of Christ. Well, if we make up the body of Christ, we all then can affect the body. And understand the fact that where you are in your walk with Christ is very important. Or lack of can affect the body. Where do you put Jesus Christ in your life? Because where that is can affect the body in either positive or negative. Very important to think about. Number four, in order to effectively minister, the church must establish priorities for their work. We must first be committed to Christ, then to one another, and then to the work of Christ in the world. We have to look at ourselves and say, okay, first thing I have to do is myself. I have to make sure I'm right and I'm doing what I'm supposed to for God. And then I need to be thinking of others, other people in the body. And then I got to do the work of Christ. I got to go out and tell people and do the work of Christ. This is what the body is supposed to do. But the body is not some fragmented thing that go, well, someone's the body. No, we're the body. We're it. And it's important that you grasp the fact that you are the body of Christ. It's not just me. It's not the other person across the hall here. It's not that person is. We are all in this together. Can you say amen? We are all doing this together. We are all the body of Christ. That's important. That's crucial to get this across. We are the body of Christ. But first, above all else, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to have the preeminence. He's got to be the number one thing. He's the number one thing in our life that's important to us, to what we do as the body of Christ. And it's got to be the number one thing that this body of believers as a church does too. See, there's two different ways we look at it. One is individual. My own personal thing. Now, and again, this is like, okay, kind of thing. My individual way affects me, but it also affects the body in this room. But we take everybody in this body that's in here right now, and then we have to have a cause and a purpose for Christ too. To make that happen. Now, if I want to look at this, and again, I will keep using this illustrations in a way. If I use the illustration of a body, and let's just say I take my right hand, because I'm right-handed. I do a lot with my right hand. And let's say I take my right hand, and I'm going to say for the next week, I am not going to wash this hand. I am going to do whatever I want to with this hand. work, do whatever I want to. I'm going to shower and I'm going to put it in a bag. And I'm not going to get this wet. I'm not going to do anything for one whole week. And I don't care. I'll work and I'll get all greasy, dirty, whatever it's going to be. Now, if I came and I said, let me shake, after you know that, and I go, here, will you shake my hand?
No.
Yeah, you're going to say, I wouldn't want to touch that. Now, understand this. If we're the body of Christ, we're all the body of Christ. Understand the fact by putting Jesus Christ first in life is crucial. But when we end up having sin in God's sight, does that affect the body?
Yeah.
It'd be no different than we're not clean. And we're affecting the body. See, your role here is crucial. Your role here at Liberty Baptist Church is crucial. Because I just brought up, hey, what about the rest of me? I showered. I got my hair all done. Everything looks good. But my hand sure isn't. You're going to go, whoo, man, I don't want to get close to your hand. Hey, I wash everything. Hey, I won't use any deodorant for a week. I wouldn't have to get that close. And you're going to know. I'm going to tell you, we can't play around with sin because we're the body of Christ. And when you do that, you're affecting the body of Christ. Imagine if the door is open and Jesus Christ in human flesh that walked on this earth for 33 and a half years walked through the doors. What would he be doing right now if he did that? He'd probably want to sit down and he'd want to say, good, I want to hear my word.
Amen.
Or he might want to say, can you excuse me? I'd like to get up here. Okay, you go at it. Whatever. But you know what? We are his body now. We're supposed to be doing this. We're the ones going out. We're the ones that are supposed to be opening our mouth. We're the ones. But if we are not understanding the number one thing is that we're Christ's body, then we are affecting everybody in this room right now and what we're doing. And we can hinder that, as we're going to see. Number two, the church is made up of many different parts. It's made up, as we saw in the scriptures, it's made up of many different parts. Now, hey, I could say this for many different things, but I'll just use football. I like football. I could use it for other sports, but football is a good example. If I look at a football team and I say, here's a football team, and I say, okay, on this football team, what do we have? You have offensive area, you've got a defensive area, and you have special teams. You've got all these different things going on. If I take the offensive side and say, okay, you have the offensive tackle. These are the gigantic guys that are all in the front lines that block everybody. Okay, you got the big front line here, but then you got receivers, tight ends, you got a quarterback, you got running backs all in the offensive. But what if I said we're going to watch a football game in which on both sides all there's going to be is offensive line? And that's it. An offensive line on this side, an offensive line on this side, and they all go like, ready? They hike the ball to nobody, and then they just kind of go, and the ball just bounces around, and that's the game. You go, well, that's ridiculous because it's not a team. It's just an offensive line. I could say the same thing to this church tonight. What if I said tonight we all got together, we all walked in here for the nursery? All we have in this building is going on right now is the nursery. Now, if you have a child at nursery age, you're bonus. You can drop your kids off. If you don't, you're going to walk and sit here. There would be nobody up here. You'd just be sitting here. Nothing on the screens. Nobody would just be walking in because all we got is a nursery. And you go, well, that would be ridiculous. That's true. Let's take a look as we look at the verses, as we look at this now, about our different parts. And what's he say about our different parts? It says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, let's start there. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. I love that. Let me read 18 again. But now has God set every member of them in the body. He said every member in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Listen, there's a lot, and it's a difficult one. I hate these verses to say. There's a lot of where, we're, what. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot in here that's talking about the body. How can one say that you're not important because of this or that? Because there's different parts, and the parts are needed. They're important to what the body needs to do. As we read this, we read about how important it is. And then I love 18, because he says in 18 that he has set every member of the body that it has pleased him. He has decided that. I haven't decided that. You know what I did? I came from Wisconsin to come here. I came from Wisconsin going, I'm going to a job. God goes, oh, yeah, that's a good one. I didn't come for a job. He got me here to go to Liberty Baptist Church. And he got it all worked out. And everybody's sitting here. You're not here by accident. You're here because God wanted you here. He put you here because it pleased him. Why? Because he says, I want part of the body. I want my body here. In Liberty Baptist Church, I want you here at this body here, because it's an amazing to think these bodies are all over the place. On the other side of town at Southern Hills Baptist Church, this body, Liberty Baptist Church, the body here, he says, I want you part of this body here. This is what I want. So he says all these parts are necessary. Understand the fact that with that, I think this. Look at all the people sitting here. Just on a Wednesday night. This is Wednesday night. Wednesday night crowd. Look at everybody sitting here. And the thing is that means we need to be part of the body. He brought up all these things, eyes, ears, all these different parts of the body that they're important to what we do. They're all different. We have all these parts, but they're important. We need to be involved in the body. The body needs to be serving and doing. I'm going to say honestly, like I said before about sin, if you're sitting here and you're not doing anything in the body, think about this. We're the body. If you're not involved in serving or not doing anything in the body, it would be like my leg dead. Nothing. Think about it. Rest of the body is great. Look at all me. Woo! Well, now I'm going to go. But what? Well, do something. It's dead. Why? Because this isn't doing anything. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. Because the body needs to be doing and serving and going. I need it to go over here. I want my body to go over here because it needs to do something. I need to serve because we're the body of Christ. We need to take care of something. Well, you know what? When you got people not doing, then it's like having a dead limb. And you know what? Does this affect the body? Yes. Can I go as quick this way? Can I do as much? I'm going to say right now, Liberty Baptist Church, if you're sitting here and you're not doing something, you're involved, will it affect what happens in this ministry? Yes. Is there something for everybody in this room to do? Yes. But you got to get up and do it, because you have to understand you're the body of Christ. And when you're not, you're affecting everybody in this room then. You're making other people work harder. I'm going to tell you something. When I had to do that, it affected my other leg. I had to work harder. My body had to work harder to get across. You know what? When a body is really working together and what it needs to do and all the parts are working, whoo, there's a lot you can do. But we're the body of Christ. We need to be used. We need to be involved. You need to be involved. Now, when we look at this and I look at these things, it talks about different parts. They say that there's no snowflake that is the same. Every snowflake is different. Every leaf on the tree, if you examine it, there's differences in it. There's differences with a snowflake. There's differences with a leaf. There are differences. They may look similar, but they're different. In our notes, if there is such an infinite variety prevailing in creation, we may reasonably expect to find the same in the experience of the saints. We're all different. We're not all the same. I'm a guy. I'm a lady. But we're different. We have different qualities. But does it make them bad, good? They're different. That's all. Think about it. Uniformity is no rule of spiritual life. Doesn't mean if you're not uniform, that doesn't mean we're not spiritual. We must not judge others because their feelings have not been precisely similar to ours. And we can be that way, can't we? If we reject all believers who labor under infirmities or are marred with faults, our fellowship will be quite limited. That's from Spurgeon. Listen, if you're sitting here and you think, well, I can't, and I got this, or I got that. Listen, God brought you here, but not to just sit in a chair. He brought you here because you're part of the body. And we, as the body, have no right to look at other people and to say, well, you don't belong. We have different groups that are sitting here. But you know what? We have no right because God brought everybody here. But we brought you here for a purpose, to be involved. God's strategy placed diversity within one body with many members. God knew. God knew your differences. God knew your pros and your cons. God knew that. And what you can bring to the church. And what you might need from others to strengthen you. We all need things from other people to help us. That's what the body's supposed to be for. It's not all us about saying, I got it all done. I'm here doing this. No. It's us all working together. And us using our talents. But then our weaknesses can be strengthened by others that are here. Can you say amen to that? There are a lot of people here that got a whole lot more talent than I do that I can be strengthened by, that I don't have the ability, but you do, and that's important to know. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual workings and the measures of every part, maketh increase of the body until the edifying of itself in love. I like that verse. When I think about that, when I read that, it makes me think of something very compact, very tight. And I got my little Legos here. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are 2-year-olds that are very upset because I took this out of the nursery. But I'm going to tell you right here, this right here are Legos. But the way I look at these Legos is I like them because they work very tight together. You put them in and they snap in and they're very compact, but they fit together. This is what we're supposed to be like. You know, there's got to be about 15 to 20 pieces in this. And look at how tight and compact they are. And they all fit together really well. This little green guy here, who knows who this is? But you know what? He's meant in here. We're all meant to be used and to be utilizing and helping one another, to building the body up, to strengthening the body, to get the body to do what it needs to do. Because we're all working together in a fashionable way. But that only happens when we put Jesus Christ first. We get the sin out of our lives to be used of Him. We understand that everybody here is important. And we're different. And we're different for a purpose. And that's okay because Jesus Christ is the one that did that. It says, under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Under His direction, we're fit together perfectly. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is what it's supposed to be. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is the crucial part about the body that we have to understand. See, likewise, the church as the body of Christ, being baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greek, slave or free, simply means that each believer is equal part in the body of Christ. We are all equal. There is nobody bigger or less. It doesn't make a difference in this room. Whether you're male, female, black, white, purple, yellow, green, whatever. Doesn't make a difference if you're short, tall. Doesn't make a difference. None of that matters. Young, old, rich, poor. None of that matters because he said we're all equal. No matter what we are, we're all equal, all different, all here for a purpose. He put us here. We need to be used of him. We need to be serving. We need to be doing for this body. If you want to see the body be functioning like it's supposed to be functioning. Or if not, this body is leaning like this. One dirty hand, one eye gone, and this is what the body is. I don't think that's the plan that Jesus Christ had for Liberty Baptist Church. Amen? That is not what the plan is. But you know what? It all goes back to individuals. This all goes back to all of us. We make up the body. This makes up the body right here. These parts make up the body. And depending on what the body's like, says what that's going to be then. There are parts. We're all part of that. Very important. Okay, number 3. The church functions properly only when unified. Only when we're unified. Ephesians 4 says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Paul, what is that vocation? That we're Christians. That's the vocation that he's talking about. Okay, how should we walk then, Paul? With all loneliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through you all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Love those verses. But he says, this is what your calling is, but you got to be unified. That's the key. You need to be unified in what we're doing. You can have all these qualities, but be unified in those qualities. Number one, people are different in fundamental ways. We're different in fundamental ways. They want different things. They have different motives, purposes, aims, values, needs, drives, impulses, urges. That's what we got. Nothing is more fundamental than that. They are different. They think different, recognize, understand differently, we comprehend differently. This is what we're made of. We are different. But at the same token, we're supposed to be unified. Isn't that interesting? But we're supposed to be unified. Number two, there is great diversity. The Bible needs every one of us as a member. Unfortunately, we can be supportive to our brothers and sisters in Christ. See, the problem can be is sometimes we're not really supportive in what we do. Sometimes we can look at our brothers and sisters and we can nitpick and we can say this and that. We're here to build up the body. It says we are to edify the body. That's what the saints are supposed to do, is to edify and to build up the body. We have a tendency, though, at times to tear down the body, not to build up. How are we supposed to be unified if we are not building up the body? Our goal is to build up, not to tear down. But we have a tendency to do that, and we have to be careful of that. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're not to lie to one another. We're to be honest and truthful. 1 Timothy says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Isn't that interesting? That I need to know how I ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We need to know how to behave. We need to know the fact that we're here to do the work of Christ. We need to understand that we're here to build one another up, because the world needs us. And what the world doesn't need is us fighting with one another. It needs us unified to help the world out. In 1 Corinthians, as we finish that off in verse 20, it says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together. He has the one that tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, that is, no division in the Bible, in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That means when someone is sorrow, we should be sorrow for that person. But one is going and something's happening, we should be rejoicing. There shouldn't be pride. There shouldn't be, oh yeah, they always get that. No, we should rejoice when one rejoices. We should be sorrowful when others are sorrowful. That's what it's saying there. But we can't say, hey, you know what? You're not important. When he brings up the fact about, well, what am I supposed to say at the beginning when he says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. We have need. I have need for my hands. I have need for my eyes. I have need for these. We have no right to say we have no need for this. Consider the parts of the body. Each part exists primarily not for its own benefit, but for the benefit of the rest of the body. That's why it's there. The parts are there to help benefit the rest of the body. If I had my arm again, if this didn't do anything, I just laid it dead, and it was just totally, I couldn't use my arm. It had no use at all. It had no use. If somebody goes, well, you know, if someone would tear me down enough and say, well, you're not good at this and you can't do this, then my arm's not good anymore. I can't be used anymore. When we start tearing people down, we shouldn't be that. We should be unifying, not dividing. Because that's what he's saying. We can't look at that and say, you're not needed, you're not needed, you're not needed. We're all needed in the body of Christ. We are all needed. Your eyes exist so that your body can see where it's going. If not, you'd run into a wall. Okay, you have your eyes for that purpose. Your feet exist so your body can walk through life and you know what you're doing. That's why you have your feet. Your body parts work to benefit the body as a whole. Your body here, as Christ says, the body here is for the whole. It's working the whole. But does the question, though, is it time for us to stop asking, what is it in for me, but what can I do for the others? Get my eyes off of me and put my eyes on everyone else. Because when I'm looking at myself and I'm thinking of me, then I can't see what everybody else in the body needs and what else I can do for the body. Because so many times we look at ourselves and say, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about the things that I have to do. But we forget about the body and what everybody else could use from me. See, I serve not for myself, but I serve to help others. I'm involved with the body because it helps others. But when we are focused on ourselves and say, hey, it's all about me, and this is what I want from church, this is what I need from the body, this is what I have to do, then that's when we lose out. Now, here's an example of this in a kind of a funny way in a little one-minute video about something titled The Me Church.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
We can laugh about the Me Church, but we have a tendency to be, it's about me. It's about me and what fits for me in church. And it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about working together for His cause and doing what He wants. But unfortunately, we can get wrapped up with ourselves and all about Him. Maybe not to the extent of that Me Church. But I think you can get to the point understanding the fact that we can be very selfish in us and saying, I'm too tired. I can't serve in the body. Hey, I can't do that in the body. Hey, you know what? I don't want to because that person's working in the body over there and I don't really want to work with that person. We can affect the body when we start acting that way because we start talking too much about the I and about me, and we got to be careful. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's unifying the body. We see also number 5, we need to be unified in His cause. We need to be unified in His cause. We are spokesmen for God. I'm going to tell you one of the most exciting things that I love is what happened, I think, a couple Sunday nights when we all went out as a church and we went out door knocking. You notice a neat thing? We had people in the back out here doing mailers. People got here, we got maps, and we went out. And you know what that was? That was the entire church family that was here getting up and going out as a whole church body and telling people about Jesus Christ. There's something exciting to be unified for a cause and saying the body is going and doing this. And now, again, it starts with individuals saying, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do my job and I'm going to do what I need to for Jesus Christ. But you know what? When we're all going out and we're unified together, on Saturday, family soul winning, 200 people going out, and the body goes out, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. But if I'm standing here right now and I go, oh, my right hand's gone. What happened to it? My right hand's gone. I need my right hand. And it didn't go because my right hand is part of the body. But you know what? These people don't come to church and they're never here. They don't come very often, but they're part of the body. And it's like part of the body has disappeared. See, if you're part of the body, don't you think the part of the body needs to be with the body? You know, if I say my hand just disappeared, it's because this is part of the body and this body needs to be here. But that only has happened when you're here. You got to be part of the body. And the body is together when we're all working together and doing something and we're unified for his cause. And I love that. Jesus said we are to be the salt and the light. We are to be the salt and the light. Matthew 5:13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." As the light, we are to share the good news. That's what we're supposed to do, is to share the good news. That's what the body is supposed to do. As the salt, we are to be the preservers of our society and the purifying element to our society. How are we supposed to be purifying our element or our society? By us ourselves being purified, by ourselves doing what we're supposed to and being the example out in this world. We are the salt and the light. That's what the body is supposed to be. It is important that we follow after the pastor as he follows after God. So when pastor says, here's the cause, because he feels this is what needs to happen from God's word, and that this is what we're going to do to reach this community as being salt and light, then we need to be following after pastor as pastor follows after Christ. Can you say amen? This is what we're supposed to do. Whether it be big, whether it be small, whether it be a big day, a small day, whatever day, we are to follow him because that's what we're supposed to be doing as the body. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself for they which watch for your soul, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." They watch over your soul. That's what pastor does. That means he has a rule over us. We should be submissive to him and say, if that's what you feel that we need to do as a church body, then that's what we should be doing as he follows Jesus Christ. Then number four, the church cannot live without its head. It cannot live without its head. Colossians 1:17, 18, we read that already about having the preeminence. That's having him first. He's number one. He's the most important thing in the body is its head. That's the number one thing. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." The church is the body of Christ. But without Christ at the forefront and in control, it is a headless corpse. If I look at that statement or that verse in 3:20, it says, "I stand at the door." He's not standing at the door if Christ is not number one. If he is not the head of the church, then he's not standing there. If he's not standing there, he says, "I stand there and knock." There's no knock. If there's no knock, then there won't be any man hearing his voice. There won't be any man opening the door. There won't be anywhere where he will come and sup with them if Jesus Christ is not head of the church. If he's not head in your personal life, he's not head of this church as a group, as a body, then it will not happen. He's got to be the head. In Ephesians 4:15 and 16, we read that also about the fact that he talks about being a whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that every joins together according to the special working measure of every part. Make it increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. He's talking about the fact that he is the number one thing that needs to be in this body. In other words, we are to endeavor to do whatever we can in the church. But it's not Christ that makes everything work. It's Christ that makes everything that works. It's Christ that makes everything that works, not us. We are to go out and be his arms and feet. But you know what? We should not get the honor and glory in that. The honor and glory goes to Jesus Christ. It all goes to him. It's all about him. It's not about us. We need to go out and do it, but he is the head. He's the reason we're doing it. It's not about our pride, about us. Whatever happens on Sunday, for that example, and as Brother Yen said, "I can't wait for Monday to see how many people got saved." It's not about us. It's about him. It's about the fact that he now has souls. It's about him. But you know what? If we aren't being his body and being his arms and his feet and his mouth and going out and doing it, then you know what? That's not going to happen then. We need to go out and do the work so that he can get the honor in that. But we need to go out and do that. And that's a crucial thing when we're talking about something that's going to happen on Sunday. Huge opportunity we have. We see, too, that Christ is our head. Without him, we can do nothing. John 5:15. I love this. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. We can do nothing with him. That means when we go and pastor says, we're going to pray for this big day. We're going to pray that your friends come. We're going to pray for this. I prayed for all those names. He says, I want to go through that list of people, because it's not about him saying this, but he says, God, I need you to do something big. God, I want you to bring people here. Are you praying for your friends that you invited? And he's saying, God, I want them to come. When they come, go, God, I want them to get saved. God, I want to see the house filled. God, I want to see you do something. God, I want this. God, I want this. God, I want this. Because it's not about us. It's about saying, God, I want you to do something. Because it's about you as being head of the body. And it's so crucial that we see that when we are looking at this. Four areas that we looked at tonight. The church is Christ's body. And we are the church, so we are Christ's body. The church is made up of many different parts. Many different parts are sitting here tonight. The church functions properly only when unified. If we want to work, we have to be working compact together, and we're unified. The church cannot live without its head. That means he's got to be number one in our church. He's got to be the first thing that's thought of, first thing that we give honor to. It's all about him, not about what we want to do as a man, but what God wants us to do. Now, with that, as I finish the story about my family, let me just say, and as my family, as we went, and Samuel ran out, and he was all over the place. Little Samuel decided he wanted to leave, and they broke up, and they went everywhere they needed to go to try to find him, and they finally found him. When they found Samuel, by that point, the ship was gone. The ship sailed away. I have a feeling Samuel got a licking of his life. I bet, oh my, I bet you Samuel really got it. Because it's not like what we do. Oh, we missed the flight. We'll just catch another flight. Back in 1867, it wasn't that simple to say, let's just cut another boat. They had to wait days. They had to wait days to get another boat, it said. And by the time that boat came, the second boat, they got news that the first boat sank and everybody on that boat perished. That means that picture, my entire family, if they would have been on that boat, would have all perished. That means I wouldn't be standing in front of you right now. I don't consider that an accident. Because I think God knows everything. God knows what everyone's doing. Everyone, he knows the hairs on my head. He knows. And I really believe that I'm here for a purpose. And he wants me to be part of the body. And he knew one day John Shore was going to be part of what my work is going to be. And I pray the fact that my kids will be part of his work one day, as my kids were brought up knowing him and being involved with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't think it's an accident, but you know what? I'm not here to sit in a chair. He didn't save me from death that way for me just to sit around and say, someone else do it. He saved me for that so that I could be used. He wants me to be used of him. But I'll tell you what, it could have been all over. All the things that I've been doing here at the church could never have been if I wasn't here. And that's the same for you. You're here for a reason. God put you here for a reason to be used. And we need to be used. And there are many that are sitting here that have done a lot. For example, when we had a little thing about saying, can you make phone calls? And it was wonderful to get those all off. You know why? Because the body of Christ said, I'll take one of those. I'll take one of those. As pastor said, I really need phone calls made for this. Because we want to see as many people that will come out this day, because we have no idea what God's going to do. But can you make some phone calls? Part of the body. Do you know what? That was a service. That's being part of the body. That was a service. Some of you serve in so many different capacities. But that was a service. Some of you say, well, I have a hard time finding a place to serve. There was a service opportunity right there. To say, I will be used for this body. It's amazing opportunities that we get. But are you willing to say, I'll step up to the plate and do it because it's important, because you're here. Not because you think, well, I came because I like the church. No, no, God brought you here. Not because you think you got here. No, God brought you here, and that's important. Now, it's at this time in the service where it's decision making. It's great to hear about the church. It's great to get information. It's great to hear scripture. It's great to be able to find, okay, the body of Christ. And you might be sitting and go, I knew about the body of Christ. I know I'm part of the body of Christ. You might say that. But you know what? You didn't come tonight. You shouldn't have to just simply hear about this. You came tonight, hopefully, to say, I need something different in my life. I need to change. I need to go somewhere with my life. Let me ask you four questions that you need to examine yourself. And you know what? These aren't the end-all questions. There might be something the Holy Spirit worked in your life specifically. Let me ask you, are you putting Jesus first in your life as part of the Bible or part of the body? Are you putting him first in your life as part of the body? As I said, you're part of the body. Are you putting him first? Because if not, you could be affecting the body. Unconfessed sin can make a difference. Listen, you know what? The body could be sick. The body could use help. But the body could have cancer. If somewhere in the body there's unconfessed sin and we haven't gotten it right, and you're thinking, well, it's just between me and God. Well, I hope you realize that's not between just you and God now. You're part of the body. You affect this. So, have you put Jesus Christ first? Is he first in your life? Do you have any confessed sin? You really got to get that right and say, man, I got to battle this sin. I need to get this out of my life, out of my life and out of this body. And I need to do that. Number two, are you part of the body? Are you part of the body? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're not part of this body. And you're saying, I want to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. I want to be part of that. In other words, if you would die tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Because to be part of the body, the first thing you got to do is you have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and what he did for you. You go, I have not done that. Well, you know what? You can tonight and be part of the body and become part of the body. But you know what? Are you part of the body? Then if you're sitting here and you say, I am part of the body. So what do you mean? Are you part of the body? I mean, are you involved? Are you really part of the body? Are you involved? Or are you just a dead finger that's here, but you're not being used? Boy, you need to be involved. You need to be doing because God brought you here and you got a talent. You might think, I don't have a talent. You got a talent. You have an ability to do something here. And you just need to come up to any one of the leaders and say, I need to be used in some capacity. That's why we have a service expo. That's why we say, get involved in what we do. Because you need to be involved because you're here for a purpose. Then, are you supportive to the body? Do you support others? Or do you look around and say, man, I'm glad they're there, and boy, I'm going to support them, and hey, I'm going to edify them, and then, or you say, boy, I hope they stay on that side, I stay on this side. I hope I don't have to say hi to them, boy, I want to look down here. Because you know what? We need to be supportive to one another because that can affect the body. We need to be supportive with one another, and we need to build one another up. And then, are you on board with the cause of the body? I mean, it's not a hard cause to understand the fact that this church is all about reaching the lost. That's mainly the cause. We know why? Because at the very beginning, I said that at the very beginning in the Great Commission, that was the Great Commission to reach people. That hasn't changed. This community is not all saved. We still need to go out and reach people. Are you involved in that cause? Are you saying, well, somebody else is involved in it? Are you involved? Do you follow Pastor? Are you saying, Pastor, what's the call? What's the call this time? What do you want? What are we to do? You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. That's the call. And he says, okay, I'll do it. That's the call. Maybe it's go out and bring somebody to church. That's the call. We need people to serve. Can you serve? That's the call. What the pastor says, this is the call. Do we look at our pastor and say, there it is. You got the banner and we'll take it. Let's go with it. That's what we need to do. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to help me out with something as we close, and then we're going to pray. Will you say with me this? Yet we are one in Christ. Say that.
Yet we are one.
Again. Yet we are one in Christ. All right? I'm going to say a poem. I'm going to go like this, and every time I point, will you say that? Okay? We are many, God's great diversity. Different faces, different races. There's butchers, bakers, website makers, bankers, tailors, teachers, sailors. Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, single, married, broken, cared. Some hopeful, some hopeless. Some cope well, some cope less. Some sure and some doubt, some whisper, some shout.
Yet we are one in Christ.
Those with abundance, those with need. Those who are generous or wrestle with greed. A broken body, torn apart, mars God's image, breaks God's heart. And yet, our Father knows how the end will be, when all His kids will sing in harmony. The bride will dazzle, her branches bloom. So add your voice to Him the tune. We are one in Christ. Amen? Then let's be one in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for being part of the body of Christ. Father, it's an honor and a privilege to be part of this, Your church, and be part of this body. Father, we are part of something wonderful that You're doing. You're doing an amazing thing here, and there are so many people that are here right now that are doing an incredible amount of work and being part of this body, and I thank You for that. Father, there might be some that go, boy, I'm not doing enough. You're not first in my life. Not like it should be. And I need to be more involved. I need to be more in the cause. I need to be doing more for the body. I don't want to be the weak cog in this body. I want to be what I should be for this body to make it go forward so it can go out and do what it needs to. And Father, maybe people are sitting here right now that are struggling with that. Maybe the first thing should be, though, that there are people that are sitting here that go, I'm not part of the body, but I want to be part of the body. And that is the fact that they haven't put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They're not for sure if they know they're going to heaven. If that would be you, your head's bowed and your eyes closed, if that would be you, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody here that say, I am not part of that body, but I want to be, and I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If that would be you, if you just raise your hand, I'm looking around. Okay. Christian, let me ask you four questions. There might be others that you had, but how are we doing as part of the body? We're all together, working together, all different. But could we be hindering the body? Maybe in those areas that were brought up. Between you and God, this is something that I don't even want to know. But just between you and God, is there areas that you go, I need to be stronger in the body in some capacity? Then why don't you ask God in a mighty way to work in your life so that you can be used in such a mighty way? Let me pray, and then we'll stand to our feet with our head bowed and eyes closed, and then the instruments play, then if you want to do business with God, the altar will be open. Father, I pray that You would work in people's lives. Father, You know right now that about Your body and the importance of being unified and the importance of doing what we can in the body and doing all we can to strive to reach people here. Father, there's so much that we could do if we're totally unified, if we're all here committed. And Father, we have such an opportunity coming up on Sunday and opportunities from weeks ahead if we are all unified in understanding the value that You have put on each and every one of us. Father, You know their hearts. You know what's going on. I pray that You would meet needs, Father, tonight in those things. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.